A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're listening to this podcast, you're most probably listening through a pair of headphones, which means I have the perfect sponsor with the perfect product for you. It's Studio, and they want to revolutionize the way people see headphones. Generally, fashionable headphones tend to lack the proper sound quality, and the high-tech ones are bulky and not design-orientated. Studio bridged that gap while emphasizing sleek, modern Scandinavian design. To get a 15% discount on any of their wares, go to studiosweden.com, which is spelled S-U-D-I-O-Sweden.com, and simply put in the code DTD when purchasing a pair of headphones.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right.
Dum de dum de dum de dum dum de dum de da da dum de dum de dum de dum dum de diddly dum dum de diddly dum de diddly dum de diddly dum dum de dum de dum de dum dum de diddly dum. Hey, dum de dum. This is Dr. Nicola Headlam here. I'm a third time caller in a row and half of the Academic Archers Organising Committee. I don't know if this is allowed, but we are very keen for Dumpty Dummers to join us at Academic Archers 2018, as you are the most knowledgeable and rudest corner of the Archers fandom, and we would rather have real fans with us at the British Library on the 17th of February. So if you sign up on Eventbrite with the code Dumpty Dum, or lowercase or one word, there's a 15% discount in it for you. Okay, bye!
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I am the calm, well-chaired village meeting that is Robert Wilson, and with me I have the Wicker Man witch hunt that is...
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of the Aldridge apocalypse is you. This week's Dumpty Dum is from Dr. Nicola Headlam. Don't forget, it's Archers Academics weekend coming up very soon. Lucy, if someone wants to send us a Dumpty Dum, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction, or try and pretend you're happy that your grandchild will be emerging from the womb of a Bulgarian fruit picker, then call us on 02030313105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast, Roundups and for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices, Mike Hatton, and I think now Glyn Fullerlove also for his character counts, and to Derek Flo in the back bedroom. Derek has been to Home Farm to offer Brian his support. Derek is no stranger to accusations of water contamination, as Auntie Cardboard still blames him for giving her rubber duck chlamydia.
Oh, my God. And it's really hard to pass it on with only a cloaca gain entrance. Anyway, on this week's episode, I do know a little bit about birds, but only the feather variety. On this week's episode, we hear views from Auntie Jean, Shiloh Pitt, Glyn Fullerlove, Claire Asprey, KJ, and Jane. But first, before the calls, let's brace ourselves for Lucy V. Freeman's Week in Ambridge.
This Week in Ambridge was sponsored by a lovely cup of tea. I don't know what was going on, as it was hardly a slow week storyline-wise, but my God, it was like a public information statement on behalf of the Afternoon Tea Marketing Board. No one had coffee, everyone had tea in a pot, and they all talked about it all the time. Josh interrupted an entire family meeting about the future of the farm to say what a lovely bit of Dundee cake he was eating. David asked Ruth to sling him the teapot. And Adam and Ian, a couple who have no problem talking about wanking into a yoghurt pot in front of their entire family, went oddly formal over the teapot at home farm. Ian said, "Shall I leave you to put the milk and sugar in?" And Adam answered, "No problem. Is this how families talk to each other? If it is, then mine is definitely doing it wrong. We just stand in the kitchen and shout, tea, over the noise of the kettle whistling. And however many yeses you get, that's how many mugs you get out. There's none of this, oh yes, please, thank you, no problem." In between the endless cups of tea, we had Emma Grundy, who believes in striking while the iron is hot. It's a Sunday afternoon, everyone's having a day off, but if Emma wants answers, then off she goes. She trapped Brian in the back of his Range Rover and shone a light in his eyes while she shouted at him about the TCP. "I don't know," whimpered Brian. "I'm just a poor multimillionaire, unscrupulous landowner. I'm not used to being questioned by women. They normally let me do what I like. Would you like a kitchen?" Luckily, Will Grundy was there to protect little Bri-Bri. "She doesn't know the right way to go about things," said Will to Nick later. "She doesn't do what I do, have my tongue wedged so far up Brian's backside you can see it when he yawns." According to the Aldridges, David has a head on his shoulders and his toes in the fire. That sounds really painful and a bit thick, to be honest. Just move back a bit, David. That should fix it. We are beginning the run-up to Lent. The run-up to what now, you ask? Honestly, the only place that makes more of a fuss about Lent than Ambridge is Vatican City. Jill updated the family on it over at Brookfield. "Now, before I get over to the parish council meeting, I've made a cake, there's tea in the pot, I've washed Josh's car, changed the sheets, gone over the silage clamp with a bit of Brasso and lagged the loft. This year's Lent appeal is about modern slavery, by the way, which is good as I can do with the extra money. I'll be back at 10 to brush your teeth." Ambridge sharpened its pitchforks to shout at Brian at the parish council meeting. A furious bunch of villagers, revved up by Krusty, were concerned about the TCP in their drinking water. They had a vote, but as all Ambridge residents now have three arms and 18 fingers apiece, the show of hands got really difficult. Krusty was on fine, impassioned, melodramatic and in completely illogical form. Every time anyone got up to speak that wasn't, well, Kirsty, she muttered, "Huh, another farmer." "Yes, Kirsty, another farmer. If you don't like farmers, go and live on that estate the Grundys had such a nice time on. Honestly, what does she think would happen if we didn't have farmers? A massive safari park full of otters and foxes gambling about, peregrine falcons cooing in the trees while vegan badgers knit scarves for the lambs." David is still not coming to terms with Toby. "I can't see Toby maturing into an Ed," he said cynically. "Blimey, we're now holding ex-crackhead bankrupt with anger issues Ed Grundy as a role model." Gob on Legs Archer, Squire of the Bull, let it slip that Elizabeth knew about the Toblerone before anyone else, so that's going to go down like a cup of goat's milk kefir. "You've left your pint, Dave," said Kenton. Alice, leave it. It's not yours. Let it go. Let it, leave it, go. Pat is training to work with vulnerable adults. She says it's to help with the homeless shelter, but to be honest, I think it'll be hugely valuable just to cope with life at Bridge Farm. We had automatic writing from Kate and Debbie. "It's an unusual way to run a board meeting, I have to say. Tap once for yes and twice for no. Next week, Derek Okora will be doing the accounts." And in a hideous development that I bloody predicted, the phenomenally distasteful goat milking malarkey has got even worse. Susan watched Linda milk Linda the goat for a bit in her lunch hour and then said, "Can I have a go?" "Yes, of course," said Linda. "Just get on all fours over there and I'll be with you in a minute. Good God, what is going on?" The end.
Oh, I didn't even get that image when I was listening to this. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I cannot carry on. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Dumb to Dumb. It's been the shortest in history, but I am going to flush my head out with a bottle of whiskey.
Bleach your retinas. Oh.
How many teats does a goat have? Two. I think it has two, doesn't it? I have to say that when I was listening to that episode, and I've listened about four times. Anyway, can I just say what an unexpected pleasure it is to speak to you tonight?
What?
Oh, there we are. I said what an unexpected pleasure it is to speak to you tonight.
Yes.
Unscheduled delight that it is.
We need to explain this. It's been a bit of a week in Dumpty Dum Corner for all of us. My other half got rushed into hospital and has an abdominal abscess and
is now
out But in the meantime, all the children have also been ill. Even the dog is on antibiotics because he's managed to get an infected willy. God knows how.
So, nothing to do with me.
In between the vet and the A&E and the surgical ward, I've not been doing a lot else, really. And poor Royfield has had his flat that he rents out turned over by courtesy of his Airbnb guests who completely trashed it and have cost him thousands of pounds worth of damage, and the police were called and everything. So it's all been hideous. Robert, so far, is the only one of us unscathed. So the curse of Dumpty Dum has passed on, clearly. It's done us two and left you.
I feel like
I've been, she says,
I've yet to hear from the Scottish Constabulary about my drive down from Glencoe.
Because you thought you got flashed, didn't you?
Well, I didn't get flashed because it was daytime. But in Scotland, they have those vans on the bridges. Because I think there's only one speed camera in Scotland and it follows you around. In the Highlands and on motorways, so they have that kind of thing. So you can't tell whether it's flashing.
It's trained on your number plate every time you come in or go out of the country. Say, he's here, quick!
Yes, I'm a well-known haggis warrior. Oh, gosh, yes. But anyway, less of horrible animals that live in fields, i.e. goats and haggises. How would you describe this week in Ambridge, apart from, that three-hour... three-hour to write monologue you've done. It's almost like it's cut. Do the words cut and paste mean anything to you? As in, we've had usual jigsaw pieces from a whole year slotted into one episode, don't you think? There's been the annual shouty meeting. There's been Kirsty's annual visit to a hide, which involves some kind of... tentative meeting with a new bloke or whatever.
Mr. Philip Love Interest, yes.
Yeah. What else has there been? There's been the Ed and Will confrontation that we've been waiting for quite some time. The annual mention of Radio Borsetshire.
Yeah, and the Westbury Courier as well.
Oh, let's not forget the Westbury Courier. I'm not even sure where Westbury is.
I think it is made up.
No. You're yanking what I like to call my chain.
I don't think it's a real thing.
Okay, fair enough. But I enjoyed it. And tell you what, I enjoyed the meeting because I had a double fast listen, as in I was listening to the podcast.
There were two meetings, weren't there? There was the silly old... There was the seance with Debbie and Kate, where neither of them were there. It says, she's tapping, I can hear her.
The Skype
seance.
She's writing.
Oh, for God's sake. Just say... They're recording. One of them's recording casually in Holby City and the other one's on the West End stage. So neither of them can be there. So let's just crack on without them.
And we've had 39 people in this month, so we can't
afford to pay anyone else. We haven't got room for anyone else. And then we had the parish council meeting as well, which is always a good opportunity for a shout.
Can I recommend that you listen back to the parish council meeting on double speed on the podcast? Because it's hilarious.
I always like listening to the rhubarb people in the background.
Oh, right, yeah.
And we hear what they're actually saying. And there's one woman that just repeats the last three words that someone else has said.
She clearly thinks it's not... Rather, you know.
Yeah. It's going to be just sort of so indistinct you can't hear it. But unfortunately, she's quite close to the microphone, so you can. But anyway, the whole thing made me laugh a lot. As well as David's completely appalling chairing. I mean, it was like the chair of the student union trying to sort of monitor Hamas or something. It just got completely out of hand really quickly.
I've got a meeting coming up on Wednesday. I have a feeling, not a work meeting, an outside organisation meeting. I have a feeling it might go that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it depends. Oh. It depends. I don't know. Anyway. There we are. And the other thing that... Well, not the other thing that annoyed me. I mean, there's much, much more that annoys me, as you know. But what the flipping heck has it got to do with David Archer, who his daughter told was pregnant first?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You've got to tell someone first.
Yes. And in most cases, it's not your parents.
Dad? No. It's usually the father.
Yep.
Or the Or the child support agency.
Someone from a short list of people who may have been the father.
The DSSS or whatever. Yeah. Ian Duncan Smith.
Child support agency.
Yeah. I mean, straight on the phone to Durex or something like that.
Yeah.
You know.
It's, yeah. That was... But...
And then he would expect Liz to come straight to him and say... Lizzie to come straight to him and say, "Oh, Pip's told me that she's up the duff. And I just thought I should tell you. Completely off... No. No. Mm.
Breaking confidences and everything. No. No, exactly. Yeah.
Duff. Yep. Well, I mean, I guess it is like him, isn't it?
It's very like him. And the more things that he feels... When situations feel as if they're moving out of his control, he does have form for doing this, for sort of saying, "Well, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" For, you know, he's done it a lot of times before.
Hmm. Was it someone last week, maybe, or was it on the Twitter feed, said that just that whole family is that they overshare everything, and everyone needs to know everything, and within a second of when it's happened, and it's so claustrophobic and stultifying.
Yeah. I
really couldn't stand that. But I'm.
Yeah.
Anyway, and by the way, who uses a bloody teapot? As you said in your monologue, do you?
I do. Yes. Oh. And my mother does.
Okay, I'm obviously not as middle class as I'd like to think. I mainly drink
coffee. There's something very comforting about a teapot. But my goodness, they didn't have... I was thinking, yes, I don't care about the Dundee cake. Can we get to the fucking point, please? Some of us have got a monologue to write.
Maybe we should be sent an abridged version with just the points they want us to put in the monologue.
Yeah.
Will that be easier?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, it would.
I don't know.
Less bullshit about the weather and how everyone's feeling and whether or not they'd like a nice cup of tea and, you know, whether there were any flipping ducks, which sort of ducks Krusty's seen. I don't care. Get on with it.
She was hoping to see a snipe.
She was.
Susan's a bit of a snipe, though, isn't she? And actually, so was Linda this week. That was a bit off, don't you think?
Yeah, and it was... Linda's more subtle than that normally.
Yeah. Did you notice when I mentioned Linda's name, I did a Linda Snell sniff, but totally Freudianly, if that's a word. Right, we'd better crack on, hadn't we?
I think actually the reason that Linda was a little bit sniffy, with Susan was because Susan actually got completely rave reviews in Blythe Spirit, didn't she?
Yes. Yeah.
From the Westbury Courier and Tristan Armpit or whatever he's called. So. I think probably she does see Susan as her proper threat. Kind of dramatic rival. But Susan's just a natural and Linda's all sort of, she's all effect and no kind of feeling, isn't she? Yeah. Anyway, that's enough about that. Deconstructing, my God, how this is all very intertextual. Deconstructing the attitude of an actor playing an actor. Deconstructing their acting skill. Woo!
It's anyway, all got far too much.
Carry
meta.
On.
Right.
It has. Shall let's we... do the caller in of us.
Yeah, let's.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Who do we have up first?
I think we have Auntie Jean, but you've got the list, so you decide.
It's Auntie Jean.
Auntie Jean said she gabbled a bit, so we have to pay attention.
All right. Right, pin your lug holes back. Here comes Auntie Jean.
Hello, it's Auntie Jean here. I've been away for a bit, but I'm back now, and here is my little take on the Archers recently. First of all, point of order. A couple of weeks ago, Piggy said to Molly, would she like to stay for lunch? And she said, we're only having cheese and soup. And I thought, cheese and soup? Who has cheese and soup for lunch? I mean, there might have been crackers involved somewhere, but she didn't mention them. So that's a bit odd, if you ask me. Right, onwards and upwards. Jenny, awful snob about Lexi in the baby world. Did we think she was ever going to be anything else? And to think we've got decades of this storyline to go, lucky us. I mean, decades. Neil, I think Neil has cancer. Because he's too ill and too tired all the time.
Oh, God.
But I forbid them to kill him off, because can you imagine Susan as a widow? Nightmare. As for Brian, I predict that he will not do his porridge, because I don't think he'll get a prison sentence. sentence. You might get a suspended sentence, but you'll get a very hefty fine. And then what you have to do is A, sell the Albion along with the farmhouse, or B, sell his part of Home Farm Partnership, and the only person who can afford it is, wait for it, Justin Elliott. So that's my little predictions. I can't really think of anything else to say at the moment, except thank you once again for everything you do. Very much enjoying it, as always. Speak to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Oh, that wasn't rambly at all.
Auntie Jean, with these predictions, you are spoiling us.
I know.
Brian to sell Home Farm to Justin.
My God.
My goodness.
Well, I would have
I don't want Neil to die, though. Can we not have Neil dying? I don't like that.
Yeah, I second or third that, or fourth that, or whatever. No, he's just got a heavy cold.
Yeah.
Now, Jennifer's the one that's been tired. But they can't pile more misery on the Aldridges, can they?
Of course
they can't.
Turn... The Aldridges have got away scot-free for ages. It's about time it all caught up with them. Yes, no, I know what you mean about the cheese and soup. I had visions of a really, really watery fondue. Just with sort of bits of crust floating around in it. Yuck.
I'll have you know that as one of my favourite, when I'm poorly, I usually have tomato soup, a very famous tomato soup, but not an Andy Warhol type, but, you know, another one. And or maybe Heinz tomato soup can sponsor Dumpty Dum, I don't know. But anyway, I have Heinz tomato soup with white toast and butter on it, and then cheese on that toast, and I dunk the cheese, the unmelted cheese and toast into the soup and eat it that way. What's wrong with that?
Well, that's basically a deconstructed pizza, isn't it, really?
It's bread. There's always tomato someone and with a smart ass answer on Dumpty Dum, isn't there? Sometimes it's me, sometimes it's you. Often it's Royfield.
Royfield's too depressed to be a smart ass this week.
Oh, no.
I know. Should we do Shiloh Pitt?
Go on.
Very glad we got a famous listener.
Shiloh Pitt, yeah, you've got to be very careful saying that.
Hello, Lucy and Royfield. This is Shiloh Pitt here. I was just wondering if it's medically possible for Lexi to think she's been impregnated by a donated egg fertilised by Adam's sperm, only for that egg to terminate. Meanwhile, she could actually be naturally pregnant by Roy. This could be a ticking time bomb for a future storyline in years to come. I may be barking up the wrong tree, so I'm prepared to be shot down in flames by anyone with more gynecological knowledge than me. What do you think? Bye.
Well, I'm not one to get gynecological. Well, that's not true, is it? I think they check, don't they? He said,
yes.
Right. What's the word? Implanted. So you have the implanted ovum or implanted zygote or whatever the technical term is. And then that is rejected in some way. In the meantime, Roy and Lexi are at it.
But I thought you weren't allowed to do the do while it was all going on.
But afterwards, I mean, if Roy finds out he's not allowed to get his end away for 9 months, I mean, I think he'd be justifiably...
No, no, no. I think, like, for the first, like, 3 weeks or something, you have to just sit still and let everything take.
Is that true in real life?
I have to say.
Do you have to do a headstand for the whole day after...
I have to say that Shiloh Pitt has the most sinister delivery.
I know.
to talking about implanting eggs. Well, I think, Monsieur Pitt, that our lack of gynecological knowledge is about as enormous as yours. And we have no idea. So let's not guess. But it would be much too convenient for that to happen.
But I'm willing to put money on Lexi getting pregnant with Roy's baby before there's an implanting of a...
No, because then...
Because then what?
Well, then, you know, there'd be a thing, well, should she get rid of it? And of course she shouldn't, or he won't want her to. Oh, no. Give over. No, that's not going to happen. Bet you a tenner it doesn't happen.
I can't afford... Yeah, all right, then I bet you a tenner. I bet you a packet of fags.
What?
I was smoking again at the weekend. It's a good job my father doesn't listen to this. Yeah, I had a roll-up. Because I went out on the works drinks too. So I had a roll-up. I had a normal cigarette. And then a colleague of mine gave me some little Spanish cheroot-type things. I had a couple of those. And
That's the nicotine version of mixing your drinks, isn't it, really?
It is. And I think I've still got a certain timbre to the old voice here, the dulcets.
Right.
But anyway.
It's phlegm. It's not timbre.
Shall we have Glyn full of love?
Oh, why not?
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Glyn here. Hello. Hope everyone has had a good start to 2018 in Dumpty Dum land.
Obviously not.
At work, it's been busier than the Brookfield lambing shed at peak sheep sprogging. So it's been distracted from getting in touch before now. But earlier this week, somebody asked me who I found the most irritating character on The Archers. And at that point, my mind went a bit blank. But later on that evening, it was Tuesday, the answer came through in spades. It was Josh, or it is Josh. Josh, can you help with a lambing? No, I've got a business to run. Josh, could you help with the milking? No, I've got a business to run. Josh, could you pass the salt, please? No, I've got a business to run. So yes, Josh is very much in the frame for most irritating character. And then Kirsty also, I think she is in the running for that at the moment, because her behaviour at the public meeting on Wednesday was a bit pointless, really. You know, I think shouting at Brian and also shouting at Welsh Philip the Builder may have made her feel better, but it wasn't really a very forensic way of extracting any useful information for either her or the rest of the village. But maybe shouting that we got a reason for why she was shouting at Welsh Philip on Friday when she met him in the hive. And do we sense romances in the air? I suspect we do.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, thank you to everyone involved in the podcast. Please keep it up. And I'm wishing everybody in Dumpty Dum Land a good week. Bye.
Thank you. Oi,
did you just pour yourself an enormous drink in the middle of that?
I did. Sorry, yes. It was only sparkling water, though.
Oh, yes. Well, it sounded effervescent. I like Philip Moss.
Do you?
Yes, I do. He's got a nice Welsh accent, and I think he's a nice, decent, down-to-earth bloke. And
you're basing this on one two-minute appearance in the parish council meeting?
No, we know him from before.
Yes, I know, but we don't know him very well, do we? You see, for a while, I thought, oh, here we go, because Shula seemed to be somewhat taken with him, but she's sort of taken with anybody, really.
Yes, anything with a pulse and a penis.
Move fast enough. Yeah, exactly. When she's sort of... so as soon as she finds out that Kirsty's interested in him, she'll be after him like a rat up a drainpipe, won't she? I did like the Josh stuff. He's absolutely right. Oh, yeah. But can you imagine, can you help with the milking? No. Can you help with the carving? No. Josh, can you inherit £160,000 when we sell the farm? Yes, all right then. Yes. Oh, okay. So what exactly did you do to earn that?
Yeah, I mean, he was extending the rule of three somewhat there in comedy terms, but good God, the list is endless of what Josh will not do to help. But I do have some sympathy. If you're running your own business, often it can be an 18-hour-a-day task, can't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but he's living at home rent-free, isn't he?
Oh, that's true. I hate him again.
Yeah. And but I do think that there was a point to what they were all... When he said... when Pip said, it's like, nothing to see here. Yes, I'm pregnant, but we can still go ahead with this enormous building project that will completely disrupt all the milking and everything. And it's fine. Just because I'm having a baby, it's fine. Nothing changes. And then trying to persuade her 140-year-old grandmother that she's going to be a full-time nanny, bloody Mary Poppins, looking after her child. It's ridiculous. She has actually got to think, how am I going to do this? And I do think he's got a point when he said, well, you weren't, you know, when we had this idea, you weren't pregnant. Of course it changes things.
Yeah.
But he is still a little git.
But I mean, I thought these structures and these pieces of machinery do have a date of obsolescence, don't they? They do have an expiry date. They do have a lifespan. And I think Josh said, or someone said, for 20 years or so. So maybe, I mean, if it is coming up to 20 years, then you can't just delay replacing important infrastructure just because somebody is pregnant.
Yeah.
But I guess in a family business, there's more juggling to be done, isn't there? And more priorities to be sorted out. This is more disruptive.
Yeah. But it's just that... It's just the denial of it. When, you know, when anyone says, but you will have a baby by then. Yes, it's fine. You know, what's the problem? Shut up. You know, and you think, well, you do actually have to talk about this properly.
Yeah. Yeah, get the plan. Might as well get the plan in place now while you can.
Absolutely. I did like Toby, who's being the world's most obsequious man now, and just keeps popping up going, hello, sorry, it's only me. I just kind of, hello, are you all right? You look lovely, Jill. That smells nice. Oh, it's a nice cake. And you think, oh, piss off, Toby.
Oh, leave him
alone.
Leave him alone.
We still don't like you. Go away.
I'm channeling
David here.
Yes, I know. I thought it was so mean-spirited that Toby forgets his tablet and turns up.
Oh, and they all say, oh, he's still not. He's
fucking
you know.
Useless. I mean, David Cameron left his child in a frigging pub. And he was running the bloody country. And Toby's just brewing gin at Hollowfield. Christ. I mean, get some perspective, matey boy.
And also, Pip was kind of. She just completely ignored him, didn't she? When he came in.
Toby?
He said, oh, hi, sorry, it's me again. Yeah. And she just carried on with the meeting as if he wasn't there.
Yeah, well.
And sort of, you know, if anyone's hoping for some kind of Valentine's Day.
Oh, no, it'll take longer than that.
Rapprochement, I think it's, you're absolutely barking up the wrong tree.
It'll take longer than that.
Oh, yes.
Much longer than that. But it's coming.
Shall we have Claire Asprey now?
Claire from Clapham.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here. Want to talk about Alice this week, but I'll take a quick sideline to mention that Adam and Ian have been promising the world, the moon and the stars to Lexi for the last couple of weeks. But Adam, as a partner at Home Farm, could well be bankrupt with all the toxic pollution and so on. That might put the kibosh on the surrogacy stuff. Who knows? Anyway, back to Alice. I was pleased to hear her sound cogent and show some leadership in the family meeting on Friday. I think it's good to see her functioning. If she's going to be a functioning alcoholic, which she appears to be, we need to see the functioning bits as well as the alcoholic bits. I was interested to see that this week, you know, Nick got her out of a couple of sticky situations. My prediction for this is that over the next few months, various members of the village will get her out of various sticky situations, but no one will put two and two together because they'll all look like isolated incidents. But something will happen which they all start to put that various incidents together and demonstrate a pattern of behaviour. I think she'll be quite good at hiding it from Chris because she's already trying to do that. At which point, I'm thinking maybe it would be interesting if Alistair broaches the subject with her because he's a member of a 12-step organisation. I dare say that's not what's going to happen at all, but that's my current plot prediction for how that storyline might develop. Anyway, I look forward to seeing people at the Archers Academic Conference in a couple of weeks. I'm nearly ready. And I was sort of avoiding my homework last time, as Lucy rightly predicted. But I'm pretty much sorted now. I'm really looking forward to it. And I hope to see people there. Please come and say hello. Cheers. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Nearly finished.
I like that. I'm nearly ready.
Which means I've switched my laptop on.
I'm nearly ready. I'm nearly ready. I've just got to get dressed. What? No, not ready at all, are you?
Oh, you see, I'm still the person who says, I'm nearly ready, I've got to get dressed. But you're the person that people say that to, I imagine. I think Alice is going to lose her job.
Yes, well, I've just written down Well, actually, I'd written down something about her first comment. I've just put Lexi Kibosh, which makes it look like Kibosh is Lexi's
surname,
yes. Which it could well be. Lexi Kibosh. Yes, I think Alice will lose her job. And I also think that this will be dealt with in the customary way of all long term. You know, we either have the Rob and Helen storyline, which felt like it went on over the course of several lifetimes.
Yes.
Or you have the Ed Grundy crack addiction, where I think Alice's alcohol problem will be identified, discussed, and fixed within the space of one omnibus. I think that's what will happen. And we'll have a lot of... She'll have a heart-to-heart with somebody.
Yep.
And they'll say, and she'll say, oh, yes, you've made me see. I never, but alcoholics aren't people like me. And then we'll have a lot of kind of sub-National Health Service alcohol advice warnings, blah, 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 blah. And then she'll give it up completely. That's what will happen, I think. And I don't... But the thing is, they're not... Adam and Ian they're putting Lexi up in that cottage, aren't they?
Yes.
And that's not costing them anything.
Well, it's costing them, it's a holiday cottage, so it's costing them income.
Yeah, but it's not theirs because they had to ask permission from Brian and Jennifer to use it.
I see what you mean. I meant it's costing the Aldridges.
Aldridges, yeah. I don't think this fine is going to be that punitive, is it?
I don't know.
It's funny, you sort of, it's like we said last week, you kind of go through the looking glass, don't you, when you're talking about Archer's money.
Mm.
You don't really know whether the fine could be £2.75 and we'll never know. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. I don't think they'll fiddle with that storyline. Once we've gone down that route, I think they've got to keep going. I mean, Adam and Ian can't go, oh, sorry, you know the baby that you're carting around? We can't afford it anymore. We kept the receipt, though. Sorry.
No, well, you can't not have a baby just because you can't afford it, because very few of us would be here now.
Hmm.
I guess. I mean, you've got to pay for it, but once she's pregnant and they can't afford to keep her in the style to which she's become accustomed, then... Well, they're not going to be able to pull the plug, are they?
Anyway, Ian's got a job, and Adam can get a job, even if it's not on, you know, even if it's not on Home Farm.
Yeah, well, Home Farm hasn't gone bankrupt yet, and...
No.
And it's not going to, because...
And it'll take a lot longer than 9 months, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
To go bankrupt.
Okay. Fair
enough. It's only addiction problems that get solved in a week.
Yes, exactly.
Right, KJ now.
All right, here's KJ.
Hi, Lucy Royfield and Robert, plus all WWs around the world. KJ here, also known as Eggstones on the Twitters. It's been quite a while since I called in last, but here we go again. I'm calling in with two predictions. The first one relates to the Grim Reaper and his coming visit to Ambridge. Ooh. I think he's coming for someone, and it's neither Peggy or Joe, but I think it's Neil. His death would cause a fantastic rift between the Carters and the Archers. The second one relates to the squashing of Matt. I think it was a drunken Alice that did it, coming home from some Christmas party or even the Hunt Ball. Can't actually remember where she was at that. Sadly, I can't claim that prediction as mine. I stole it of a colleague at work. Keep up the good work. KJ out. Bye.
Well, that was short and sweet, and throwing a cat among the pigeons again. Oh, God.
Can we not? Neil is not dying.
He's had a heavy cold. Now, I know man flu is very serious. I've had it myself. But he's not got. Although.
No.
Because there
stop
are
it.
Some.
No.
Right, I'm just going to WebMD. I've just got to remove...
No!
Just got to remove infected dog penises from my search history. And you better remove it from yours, sweetheart.
If you go onto WebMD, it'll just tell you to go straight to A&E, because it always does, whatever you've got.
Yeah.
You could ring up and say, my mouse won't work, and it will say, go to A&E. No, we're not having that. I'm not even entertaining it.
No.
Stop it.
No.
Neil is
no.
fine.
I want you to go away and think about what you've just said, because it's upset a
yes.
lot of people.
You and Auntie Jean.
Yes, both of you should be
of
ashamed
you.
Of yourself.
Stop it. Yes.
Now, if you said Susan's going to die... You
we'd have had a party. No, we wouldn't. She's a friend of the show. Now,
oh, yes.
Drunken
no, the
Alice.
Actress is, yeah.
Did Drunken Alice flatten Madden?
Well, I mean, if you do that, you have a reaction, and there's no reaction, no denial, no covering
no.
up, no guilty.
No, maybe she can't remember though.
What you? So you? She stopped, got out of the car. And then sped off.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then got home, yeah. went to sleep, and forgot about the whole thing.
Yeah.
That means I could be guilty of almost every hit and run.
I was thinking, you know when you're, like, you're going around the supermarket the next day and you suddenly think, oh, no, when it suddenly runs through your head of, oh, God, I told that story. Or you suddenly have a memory of yourself acting something out and thinking, what the hell was I doing? And you think... I'm sure I stopped the car last night. I remember the car. Oh, my God!
I'd just like to say that I do not...
I backed over a tycoon!
I do not drink and drive. And Dumpty Dum does not approve of drinking and driving.
No.
Even fictional drinking and driving.
No.
We don't approve of speeding
That's
in
ridiculous.
Scotland either.
No. Or haggises.
No. Oh, I approve of haggises. What else don't we approve of?
Or getting a Bulgarian fruit picker up the clanger and then refusing to pay her. No, we don't approve of that either. And people having cancer, we don't like that either.
No, cancer
Let's
is...
Let's be clear.
Well, it's shit, isn't it?
That's a big no-no for us, isn't it? It's a big no-no. Mm-mm.
Definitely.
Can we have... Jane.
Yeah,
now,
let's have Jane.
Please, thank
Hi
you.
Hi there, it's Jane here
Hello.
Again.
Hello.
Oh, sorry. Background noise from the dog.
Down,
and the postman. Anyway, I've had another epiphany. I do feel a bit sheepish. That's a pun.
thank you for pointing
I was a little bit ungracious with Lucy last time I rang in and was crowing a bit, but I think I had a very, very small glass of wine when I recorded that, so apologies. Anyway, I've had another epiphany. These come to me in the middle of the night when I'm listening to the Archers on catch-up quite often. I think that, now let me get this right, Josh is going to be very lackadaisical in helping with the lambing, while David and Ruth aren't around. He's going to have to call on Pip for help, and she's going to get some horrible disease from coming into contact
with
the sheep.
Yes, pregnant with,
Toby's going to be the most solicitous and the best possible partner he can be during a difficult period, and he's going to win David over. And David's going to accept him into the bosom of the family. The reason I think that's going to happen is because they keep going on about this lambing book and trying to put pressure on Josh to help. And nobody, unless I've missed it, has mentioned the dangers for pregnant women around sheep that are giving birth and lambs and all that. All seems a bit strange.
Yes.
That wouldn't have been mentioned quite a lot, having a pregnant woman on a farm during lambing time. Maybe they have mentioned it, but anyway, I've got a feeling that's what's going to happen. And I promise not to crow if I'm right.
We don't believe
right.
you.
You'll never hear from me again. All right, then. Bye.
You little liar, Tommy.
Jane, I completely agree with you. So if you do crow, I shall crow with you, because you are right. I was wondering about that, because I can't remember what the disease is, but there's a lot of warnings about it. If you even go to a petting farm thing, with your children, it says if you are or might be pregnant, you must wash your hands, you must not go near the sheep, you must not blah, 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 blah. So whatever it is, it's dead nasty. So yes, there's and they don't seem to have made any provision for getting outside. I mean, they normally get Ed in for the milking, for the lambing, don't they?
Yes, yeah. I'm just looking up the DEFRA pregnant women's website at the moment to find out what Pip could catch from the rear end of a ewe.
Yes. Yes. I think Toby being a great partner to Pip, I think, yes, that will happen. He'll try. But I still don't think David will forgive him enough. I think because David doesn't relate to anybody, to other men on those terms. Yeah.
So here we are.
I don't know. It's a nice... Oh, yes.
Pregnant animals or those that have recently given birth may carry germs that can harm pregnant women, such as chlamydiosis, listeriosis, Q fever, spelt Q, all new word, fever. That sounds horrible. And toxoplasmosis.
Mm. That's it. Toxoplasmosis. That's the one that can make you... Is that the one that
blind?
Makes you go blind?
Is it the one that makes you go blind or the one that makes you brave? That makes rats and mice try to be friendly with cats. Is that the one? Makes you take risks.
No.
What are you laughing at? It's true.
What are you talking about, you lunatic?
Oh.
It makes rats and mice brave.
Yes.
That was a film. Yes.
Yeah, or a Disney film.
It was Mickey Mouse. Do you remember?
You.
Did he have a little waistcoat on?
Someone is going to be eating humble pie very soon. It might be me.
Served to me by a brave mouse. Yes.
Right, two words, Lucy. The first one begins with F and the second one ends in F.
Faff! We have two email arrinners. Rose Calloch said, "When I sing the Archer's theme tune, my five-month-old son stops fussing, especially if I bounce my leg in time. He will even make a sad-sounding noise when it's finished. I don't think I will ever be able to sing the tune again without laughing. He loves it and hilariously stares at me and nods when I start. Otherwise, he doesn't move a muscle or utter a sound." This is definitely our youngest Dumpty Dummer. And for him to respond so profoundly to our favourite tune means that he must get some sort of award,
yes.
I think.
A Dumpty Diddler special bouncy award.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yes. And Thea Cochrane, you know, last week everybody was singing. Oh, what were we singing? We were singing something.
Oh, yes.
To the tune of something else. Oh, for God's sake, I can't remember what it was.
Dead fish in the am.
No, now we've got, how about Dead Fish in the Am to the tune of Knees Up Mother Brown?
That's a fact.
Which also...
Dead fish in the am, dead fish in the am.
Dead fish in the am.
Floating bobbin, sinking too. Something here smells like poo. Dead fish in the am, dead fish... I'm making that up as I'm going along. You can't tell, can you?
Yes, it's very good. No.
Right. Toxoplasmosis in mice. Types it into Google. Right.
Stop looking at obscure animal diseases.
Shall we take...
To back up your spurious theories.
Shall we take...
Yes.
An infomercial break?
Yes.
Go on then, I'll press the button.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Look what free speech has gotten you, right? And if free speech is going to bring a Hitler to power, are you still going to defend the rights of those people to speak?
If you talk about the things that affect your daily life.
The secret to being a good actor.
I don't really care, actually, whether Britain remains Britain.
His dad was actually murdered in front of him.
Marine Le Pen has changed the Front National.
If it's like kind of like a documentary investigative reporting, serialized true crime, it often gets into questions about the justice system or the media.
In and outside the world, there's always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday with Dean, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people, the backdrop of great tunes, and allocate 15 minutes to both.
Good question. Really good question.
And from the website of the scientific journal Nature.com, mice infected with toxoplasmosis lose their instinctive fear of the smell of cats, and the parasite effects may be permanent, which means that they then get eaten by a cat, and then they spread the toxoplasmosis to a cat, which then goes into its shit, which then is caught by a mouse, and then it, in anyway.
Are you saying that Pip is no longer going to be frightened of Hilda Ogden?
Oh, yes. That's a very, very good twist, isn't it? That's what you call a
four-week callback. I have to say that of all the plot predictions that we've heard today, ours were the shittest. Everyone else's were really good. Ours are just absolute arrant nonsense.
Well, they sit around thinking about it, whereas we just spew it out, don't we? Anyway, there's probably some more plot predictions in this week's social media roundup, which this week comes from Millie Bell.
Good day, everyone. Well, busy, busy, busy we have been with Dumpty Dum. Dumpty Dum, our forum, there's been some discussions about swimming in the M, of course, and Alice the Middle Class Drinker, but also one started by Mike Hatton about Right You Are. Apparently we've had several already this month, and it got me thinking it'd be really good if there's someone out there who just likes tallying things. Could you please tally for us every month how many Right You Are's there are and how many Hello You Two's, and maybe stick that up on the Facebook page or the forum, please, just for a bit of fun. So if you want to put your hand up for that, I'd like to hear from you. And on our Facebook page, so much to talk about. We talked about that in one episode, Toby and Rex were not in agreement, Adam and Brian were not in agreement, and Will and Ed were in vehement disagreement. And David plods along muttering about families needing to stick together just in case we'd forgotten. Andrew Horn reminded us it was about time the Grundy boys started fighting again. It's got to be a year or so since the last spat. Ah, fair enough. Actually, I think you're right, so maybe that did need to happen. Just while I think of it, really encourage people to also put up posts. And we've had a few posts this week from people. Tom Williams, who asked if he's the only person who quite likes the idea of Brian going to jail. I'm not sure if I want him to go to jail. I do want him to have to acknowledge what he's done. However, as was discussed on the podcast last week, very unlikely that anybody's going to be going to jail unless we've suddenly become EastEnders, because we've had too many there. Penelope Matheson very kindly pointed out that the main site seemed to have been hacked at one stage, but I think we got that fixed. And we also had a discussion about the fact that in last night's episode, Emma made a remark about David Archer being related to Brian, and how were they related. That was from Karen Cunningham, and Witherspoon reminded us that, well, they're first cousins by marriage, and he said in his extended family, all spouses of blood cousins become cousins as well. We're a welcoming bunch. Not sure that I'm quite... I quite enjoy the differentiation, because, you know, families can be a bit trying, but if you've married in, well, it's just not your fault, is it? Okay. We also discussed who was more obnoxious the other day, rude Emma or condescending Will. But we agreed in the end that we'd probably call it a tie. Marion Barton said, why is Emma treated as annoying and obnoxious simply for taking her position seriously and trying her best to get answers in the face of Brian's condescension and obfuscation? Yes, she could have made an appointment, but I doubt she would have got anywhere. Will was incredibly rude and bullied her just to save his own skin, which was actually in no way at risk from her questions anyway, but I wonder if he feels, as his ex-woman, her behaviour reflects poorly on him. Have to say, it all feels a bit sexist and patronising to me, and Ed was right to call him on it. Though equally, Emma could have done that herself had she been so inclined. absolutely agree. Did not understand what Will's point was at all. And I was a little bit sad that Emma capitulated. It would have been good to see her stand up to that nonsense. We also talked about the fact that in one episode, Brian sounded shifty and Alice sounded drunk. And we just wondered if that was just another day at Home Farm. And Josephine Stucker said they are setting up the most predictable storyline with Alice. Oh, look, she's a big drinker. Oh, look, there's a pervy guy at work. Oh, look, something bad is going to happen and nobody will believe her, as they will say she was drunk at the time. Wow. Okay,
what? Oh, I forgot that.
Prediction yes. there. We also discussed how wonderful the interview with Roy Field and Lexi, played by Anya, was. So if you are not if you are not donating to us through Patreon, I really recommend you do, because these extras that Roy Field started putting in are fantastic, really high standard, and you know, really pad out what we're listening to. Also talked about Jill and the fact that it looks like it's not just the dairy cows being put out to pasture. They seem to want to put her out too. Joanne Smith said they're not trying to put her out to pasture. They're just looking out for their own interests. If Jill spends all her time watching Pip's baby, the rest of the family would starve to death and the house would become a tip too. But Denise Tomlinson said something very interesting. She said, for once, I agree with the dopies. Looking after tiny grandchildren is exhausting, and I'm about 25 years younger than Jill. That's very, very interesting. So thanks for that, Denise, or Dusty. We also discussed Nick's actions to protect Alice from her over-drinking. Someone said, now I do love Nick. Oh, it was Karen Cunningham again, that's right. I do love Nick, but working in a pub does actually involve selling alcohol to people. With her conscience, she'd probably be better suited to a social worker role. I found that scene very interesting because in Victoria, in Australia, we have responsible serving of alcohol rules, and I've done that training. And when we're not obliged to sell to anyone that we think is over the limit and maybe going to perhaps not make good decisions about how they get home. So, yeah, I found that one just really interesting. I didn't agree with her pretending to give her alcohol, though, because that is dishonest. And lucky last, we talked about Kirsty getting a bit heated at the community meeting and whether people were surprised by how publicly antagonistic she was, because she's normally less confrontational. Helen Say said, I thought both she and Emma were incredibly rude, constantly interrupting with snide and unsubstantiated remarks. If Emma wants to be a public servant, then she needs to behave like a grown-up instead of a spoiled child. Well, I actually thought that was, really good advice. Now, lastly, someone asked whether we could help them, because when they liked something on Dumpty Dum, it came up in their husband's Facebook feed and he was taking the mick out of her because she wasn't really sort of going into too much detail about the fact that she liked the Archers with him. And the general concession was that she may need to just divorce him or to set up a phony account. I quite like the idea that if he can't cope with her being an Archers fan and wants to take the mickey, he can just go find someone else. And that's about it for us for this week. You can tell, because this is pretty long, we've had a pretty good week on both Facebook and the forum. So really want you to come join us. Witherspoon's there, I'm there. And from time to time, Yokel Bear will still be there. So please come join us. And until next week, hooroo!
Thanks, Millie Bell. I like the background noise that sometimes comes from Millie Bell's recording. She I don't know, it sounds like she's got the window open. And can you hear in the background? There's street noises and birds in the background. I'm just imagining that it's a beautiful Antipodean afternoon.
I can't hear anything.
What are you listening on?
Okay, well, but the normal thing.
The normal thing.
It's your imagination. You're filling in the gaps.
Yes, well, there's an awful lot of gaps. That's alcoholic blackout for you. Now, Lucy, would you like to hit us with the tweet of the week?
I would. We have... who do we have? We have Dietrich Song, Jill Masters email, next WI lecture is Joe Grundy on Apple Pay. Very good. Jane Howard, the much signposted drunk Alice storyline staggers on, singing loudly and telling everyone it loves them. Margaret Graham said Alice looked upset as a newt. And Denise Tomlinson said, well done, Kent, and we can now all enjoy a bit of a family row. And tweet of the week is Dawn Oliver, who said, when I type in Will Grundy, autocorrect comes up with fucking knob jockey.
Oh, dear. Dear, I certainly hope my employers don't listen to this podcast. She said that, not me.
You were the one talking about drunk driving.
But we don't approve of it, and no one does it.
No, yes, I know. I know, I'm joking. If you would like to help keep our little show on the road, there are two ways this can be done. You can donate by hitting the donate button on the site, or you can sponsor us via patreon.com.
And remember, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website, or call 0203 031 3105, that's 0203 031 3105, to leave a message. You can find Royfield and Lucy et al. At Dumpty Dum on Twitter, that's at Dumpty Dum. Lucy is at Lucy V. Freeman, and I can be found at Naked Fingers. And that is your lot.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.